So former Defense Secretary Robert S. McNamara died today. He was 93. His death happened quietly at his home at 5:30 this morning. His wife, Diana, told the Associated Press he'd been in failing health for some time. But for many, many years, Robert McNamara has been trying to explain his legacy, choices that he made during the Kennedy era and Johnson era that had historical significance for all time.
Any military commander who is honest with himself or with those he's speaking to will admit that he has made mistakes in the application of military power. He's killed people unnecessarily, his own troops or other troops, through mistakes, through errors of judgment.
That's Robert McNamara speaking in the movie all about Robert McNamara by the documentary filmmaker Errol Morris called The Fog of War. We'll have more clips from that film in a moment. But joining us now is Larry Korb, former Assistant Secretary of Defense, who's been a friend of Robert McNamara for quite some time and has worked with him on nuclear weapons policy, something that we should remind our listeners. Robert McNamara was in the middle of the whole Cuban Missile Crisis events in the Kennedy administration. Lawrence Korb, thanks for joining us.
Nice to be with you.
Let's talk first about what McNamara's legacy was with Kennedy and then with Johnson, and then we'll get to the issue of how he's really spent the latter part of his life explaining that in some experiences that have really been really agonizing to watch and experience.
Well, it has. I mean, he was, in fact, they labeled the war in Vietnam McNamara's war for two reasons. One, he was the Secretary of Defense, and he was a person who was very, very controlling in terms of, you know, decisions that were made. The other legacy, of course, that people forget is he was probably the first Secretary of Defense ever to run the department. I mean, previous people had sort of presided. He really ran it and made the decisions in terms of, you know, what weapons we would buy and you know, what kind of forces we would have. And then, of course, that carried over into Vietnam, where he was involved in a lot of the decisions.
Well, Larry Korb, you know, we should remind our listeners again that here was a man who was recruited directly from the presidency of the Ford Motor Company by JFK. His talents as a manager were exactly what Kennedy was looking for to run the Pentagon, yet he is sort of left with this legacy, particularly post-Vietnam, of being something of an ideologue, a zealot. That's exactly what Robert McNamara was not.
No, that's correct. And again, you know, I think if you take a look, when he turned against the war in 66 and tried to tell Johnson, you know, that we ought to get out, but, you know, he was loyal to the president. And by late 66, Johnson had decided to force him out because of the fact that many in Congress were upset that McNamara now was, you know, said the war wasn't working. And, you know, when he left, the American casualties were about 16,000 deaths, you know. We ended up with 58,000, and I think people, forget that. And you're right. I mean, he was brought in to run the Pentagon, and he ran it. And in fact, they still use the same framework that he established for making budgetary decisions every year.
Well, let's listen. This again from the documentary "The Fog of War." Here's Robert McNamara talking about the confrontation with Russia over Cuba.
At the end, we lucked out. It was luck that prevented nuclear war. We came that close. Rational individuals. Kennedy was rational. Khrushchev was rational. Castro was rational. Rational individuals came that close to total destruction of their societies. And that danger exists today.
You know, in many ways, McNamara's struggle and the people who struggled to understand him was about this issue of rationality. In the case of nuclear weapons, rationality won. But McNamara really was accused of using rational arguments, mathematical arguments almost, on the battlefield in Vietnam for extraordinarily brutal human consequences. First, why was he successful on the nuclear side?
Well, he was successful on the nuclear side because he recognized that after you got to a certain number of weapons, it made no sense to keep building. I mean, previous to that, before he came to the Pentagon, they just kept building and building, you know, sort of in a race with the former Soviet Union. He said, you know, when you reach a certain point, it makes no sense to go on, and what we ought to do is work with the Soviet Union to limit the number. And the other is during the Cuban Missile Crisis, you know, he recognized that the stakes were so high that if you took precipitous military action, and a lot of our military people wanted to bomb the facilities, it could unleash a nuclear war. And we found out later, we didn't know at the time, that Khrushchev had designated to the on-scene commander in Cuba the authority to fire nuclear weapons if the United States invaded. And, you know, I remember talking to him about it once, and he said, when one military officer said, well, if we bomb, we wouldn't get them all. He said, I felt like hugging him because there was such pressure on Kennedy, particularly from what we would today call the hawks in Congress, to do something about, you know, the nuclear weapons 90 miles from the United States.
You know, I watched the Fog of War. It was really the last big kind of look at Robert McNamara for most people. I mean, you had contact with him, you know, up to the end, I'm presuming here.
Yeah, I saw him about 2 months ago.
Sure.
The last time I saw.
Yeah, I got the impression watching the Fog of War that on some level, whether he could make the argument that he acted responsibly in Vietnam, that somehow the numbers failed him, that the attempt to use numbers to measure all things in the Pentagon missed certain things that he felt morally responsible for in some ways.
Well, he did, and if you read his book in retrospect that talks about the mistakes that, you know, we made in Vietnam, he does admit there, you know, one of the lessons he says, we fail to recognize the limitations of modern high technology military equipment, you know, confronting an unconventional, highly motivated enemy. In other words, you know, the body counts were all in our favor, but that, you know, that was not breaking the will of the Vietnamese.
So here's one final clip from that movie, The Fog of War.
But he hasn't destroyed nations. And the conventional wisdom is don't make the same mistake twice. Learn from your mistakes. And we all do.
In the end, a long life of learning from mistakes is perhaps the most profound, I think, lesson that McNamara passes on. I was really ultimately admiring of his candor. As I looked at him over the last several years.
Well, I agree. And you know, I can't remember a public official with the courage to confess error and explain where the country went wrong. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if, you know, Secretary Rumsfeld writes a book and, you know, explains, you know, his errors. I mean, and it bothered him for the rest of his life. I mean, people forget that after he left the Pentagon in 67, he ran the World Bank and really did an awful lot in terms of dealing with poverty and hunger around the world. And then he dedicated, you know, the rest of his life to trying to do something about, you know, this proliferation of nuclear weapons, but it's all been lost because of, you know, the Vietnam era.
You know, there's a famous television clip, I believe, of Robert McNamara addressing the Kennedy assassination when he was long ensconced in the Johnson administration, and he broke down and cried. And I believe Errol Morris asked him the same question decades later, and he still broke down and cried. Do you think the Kennedy assassination, in some sense, was devastating, unrecoverably devastating for Robert McNamara?
It was, because he had a very good relationship with President Kennedy, very, you know, and he really, you know, I use the term worshipped him. Johnson was more, you know, a professional thing, and I always got the impression that he would like not to have, you know, stayed on under Johnson, but Johnson asked him, and I asked him one time, and he said, well, I had a duty, you know, I mean, I was asked to stay on. The country was going through turmoil. My own personal opinion, I told him, and I also told my boss, Weinberg, when I was working for him, that don't stay longer than 4 years, because every secretary who has not turned out well.
Well, Lawrence Korb, former Assistant Secretary of Defense, talking about the death today of Robert McNamara, longest-serving defense secretary, who died today at 93. Thank you, Larry, and this is
Thanks
The Takeaway.
For having me.